Good morning, church. I'll be reading Psalms 91, the entire chapter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadows of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my God and my refuge, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor scourge come near your tent. He will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. May the Lord add a blessing to his read word.
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. I am thrilled just to be back with you on this day that the Lord has made. So much is going on in our world, in our society, in the United States. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God that we are saved, we have been delivered, and set free. Also, just want to give a shout out to all those that we've picked up with our online presence. There may be some that are members of other churches that are just able to peruse in with us on the internet and worship with us. So I am blessed. I'm thrilled of what the Lord is doing in our lives. Want to get just a few announcements. Please, been saying this, download our app just so that you can interact with us. You can get notifications. We've got prayer walls that also parallels ebcnc.com with so many updates and this things that we are doing in the future and the community. So thank you. Sometimes we get information with vaccination schedules, and so you can be first on the list. Our congregational nurses are definitely assisting us in this manner. So we just thank God for his grace and mercy again, and his healing power. I want to get into our giving scripture today, because I just have been thinking about this. Every time I go over this, it just blesses me. I was talking to my family the other day of just how good God is. When we put him first, he is just such a wonderful provider. And when we think about our lives, think about your life, how good God has been. So let's look at this, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Paul the Apostle brings this out as he's inspired of the Holy Spirit. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That 7th verse, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that 8th verse, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. But listen to this, that 9th verse, as it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Isn't that good? Just knowing that God has our back, that God has always been there for us. And I want to encourage you not to take his presence for granted. We've been teaching on the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into that teaching momentarily. But don't take the Spirit's presence in the life of the believer for granted. God is good. Let us pray.
Father God, we thank you for allowing us to assemble once again before you, Lord, for your throne, Lord, of grace and mercy. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done for us, Father. We thank you, Father, for carrying us through this year, Father, this upheaval year, Lord, of pestilence in the land, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all you've done for us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us every step of the way, Lord. Lord, we just give you honor and glory, Father, for what you've done for us, Lord, for those things we did not deserve, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Father, to strengthen us, guide us, and lead us, Father. Bless each and every family, Father, in the sound of our voice, Father. Bless those that are still suffering, Father, and the families that are still going through, Lord, not only from this sicknesses, Father, from this pestilence, Father, but from other things that have occurred in each and every family, Lord. We ask you, Father, to keep the enemy at arm's length away from us, Father, to strengthen us and help us to go forward, Lord. Help us to lean on you, Father, in everything, Lord. And, Lord, we bless your name, Father. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand for
God's word as we get into this study of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Lord, as we approach this word, just do it very, very carefully. We just need your presence. If there's someone that's looking or listening in that doesn't know you, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, we're teaching on you. We welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed and be like you. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've been on this journey, it's just been blessing me, and I pray it's been blessing you, because I've been more cognizant of God's presence. We've been learning about his personality traits as he interacts with the believer on a daily basis. Remember that topical scripture that we have just been focusing on at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit introduced to us early. And that whole topic that we've been dealing with is the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. Don't forget about that theological term that we've been using, pneumatology, the study of the Spirit, when you break down that breath and knowledge. And that's what we've been going in, really looking at in detail. And today we're going to get into more of the teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. So let's go to John 15:26. John 15:26. If you remember from last Sunday, we were in that 14th chapter, and now we're transitioning into this 15 and 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And I want to speak from the subject today, help in a time of need. Help in a time of need. As we are just building, making building blocks to get to this point. I remember on last Sunday, we were dealing with the Spirit of truth. At this point, as we've transitioned to the 15th chapter, most theologians agree that they've had the Last Supper and they're actually walking through the streets of Galilee and they're just kind of talking. And Jesus is unveiling these wonderful teachings. It's 33 AD. Jesus is very close to going through the cross. Now remember, he's told them there's going to be immense hatred for me. And because people hate me, they're going to hate you. There's going to be persecution that's going on. And so God, he tempers this. Jesus tempers this by letting them know about the Holy Spirit, this wonderful gift. And as we get into this lesson, I truly believe so often we take the Spirit for granted within our lives. Let's jump in the 15:26. It says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The first point, and this is huge, because when you think about being saved and showing God's trait, the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. The Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. So these are traits of the Holy Spirit inside of the believer. I want to say that again. The Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. Now, this is interesting to me, because we can talk about so much. We can talk about sports and detail. And I do. I have friends that are just sports fanatics, and they can tell you every bit of everything's going on. We can talk about technology. I'm a technology guy. I love technology. And we can just talk about different computers. We can talk about certain cars and upgrades with technology and phones and gadgets. I love that. But how often do we miss out on talking extensively about Jesus? And that is a key trait of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of me. On the inside of you. Now, I do find it interesting. The other week, my family, they turned me on to this Vision of Wanda thing that we've been looking at. And afterwards, we talk and we go, over and over. Well, actually, they talk about it. And I do. I sit sometimes until I just get tired. I go to another room, and they talk about, you know, what's going to happen and the characters and things of that sort. But my problem is it's fictitious. It's fiction, which means that, you know what, this is not real. This is made up. So in essence, does it really matter? And so much in our lives, we talk extensively on that doesn't really matter. And there's times, you know, fictional books, I read a lot of those and I enjoy them and they can bless me. But we have to make sure that we're giving the time for the Holy Spirit to speak of Jesus. We need to talk more of Christ. There was another conversation in our family that we actually began to talk more about Christ and the intricacies of the scriptures and what they actually mean. Look at this, John 15:26, a little closely. He said, "Whom I shall send to you from the Father." And I love this. I love this. Talking about help in a time of need. Jesus said, "You're going to go through, but I'm going to send you a gift, and it comes directly from a Father." Just the other day, I was really blessed. I was talking to one of my friends, and he was talking about his son had gone away to a far, far place. And the dad decided to write his son a letter. And he wrote this letter, sent it to his son, and his son was so blessed by receiving that letter from his dad that he actually put it in his pocket and for weeks just walked around with that letter in his pocket. And that's what the Holy Spirit, it comes directly from the Father, and we should be blessed. We should be lifted up in the fact that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and he comes directly from the Father. Let's not forget our scripture from last Sunday in John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." So for the believer, the Holy Spirit is with us forever. We have a keepsake. We have a reminder of God's presence dwelling on the inside of us, help in a time of need. Look at John 15:27. "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Here's another point. Christians bear witness of Jesus. Christians bear witness of Jesus. Please get that. Please get that. Paul the Apostle reminds us in 2 Corinthians 3:2. He says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. I want to ask you this question. What are people learning from you? What are they learning from your life? We are living epistles. We are an example of Christ, and the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. We should be exemplifying Jesus, how he walked, how he talked, his whole thought pattern, because his Spirit, God's Spirit, is on the inside of us. Martin Luther, he gave this quote, and it really, really challenged me when I thought about it. Listen to this. It says, "The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship." Martin Luther said that. That's just mind-boggling me. The other day, I was on a construction site, and I actually brought the shoe that I had on. I had this shoe, and it's all dirty and everything. And you can see it looks like a pretty good, well-made shoe. It's got thick soles and everything. But when I was on that construction site, there was an accident that happened. I stepped on a nail. Yes, the nail. I stepped on the nail. Shoe looks sturdy. It looks like, man, this is made for construction. But guess what? The nail went in the bottom of the shoe and went all the way in to my foot. A lot of construction shoes are made for nails. they have a metal shank that goes through it, or the bottom of it is actually stronger to resist the punctures of nails coming through. And for the Christian, guess what? We're made for construction. We are made for construction. We're not made for nails just to go all the way through. And that's what Martin Luther is talking about. God, through his Holy Spirit, has made us strong. He's made us to the point that we can actually walk in him. And he said, all things are possible to the believer. I'm talking about help in the time of need. When we think about the impact that the Holy Spirit has done for us and transforming us from the inside out, look as Jesus continues his teaching in John 16:1. It says, these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Keep that in mind, that they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Here's another point. Following Christ is not always easy. Any amens out there? Following Christ is not always easy. Within that scripture, Jesus is contextually talking to his disciples. He's like, you're going to have to go through. There are going to be some struggles. And that's why help in a time of need is so important, to have the Spirit. Jesus told them about the hatred. He told them about his death, his resurrection, all these things that were going to come. But he's encouraging them at the same time. Look at that John 16:1 a little closely, that last part. You should not be made to stumble. He tells the disciples this, and he's telling us too, that, you know, with the Holy Spirit, we don't have to stumble. How many things has Jesus told us within his scriptures so we don't have to stumble? Now, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God, but God in his word has given us encouragement, and his Spirit is on the inside of us so that we don't have to stumble. I believe in that scripture, as it talks about persecution. Persecution is happening today. It's happening in our time. We have radical terrorism that's going on. We've got abortion that is an all-time high. We've got radical things that are happening even within the body of Christ. Any amens? Yes, there are people that have gone their own way, and instead of exalting Jesus, they've exalted a man or a woman, and they use strong arm tactics to try to bend people's will. I've been in this a long time, and I've talked to people, and it's hurt my heart when people who love the Lord get within a cult of a type, and all of a sudden crazy things are being put in their mind, and Jesus is being pushed down, and someone else is being exalted. We need help in a time of need. Before Paul's conversion, he actually puts this and gives us an understanding of how religion can turn to something ugly. Acts 26:9, he said, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. Paul was religious at this point, but didn't know Jesus. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. So we can see even that thought pattern. There can be people in the church that they say they love God, but they don't understand who Jesus is. Thank God for help in a time of need. Look at John 16:5. But now I go, Jesus says, away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Here's another point, and we've actually been building on this as we've been going to the through this series. The believer, the Holy Spirit is with the believer. So the believer has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with the believer. And we can never, ever forget this. As we look at this scripture a little closely, notice that seventh verse, it says, it is to your advantage that I go away. That's what Jesus says. And then the last part, he says, but if I depart, I will send him to you. We need to celebrate what Christ has done for us, because it has opened the door for the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Just to know that the Holy Spirit has been welcomed into our lives by the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus is telling the disciples, I got to go. And they're getting sad and they're getting depressed. He says, no, but it's a good thing that I go. It's all a part of God's plan so the Holy Spirit can come on the inside of you. But how often in our lives do we ignore the Holy Spirit? How often in our days do we just walk through and we don't even think about who the Holy Spirit is and how he wants to work in us? I've been more cognizant, as I said, starting this out, of the Spirit. And when I go in the stores and I'm having to make a decision on what I'm going to do, I'm more cognizant and just trying to focus in on prayer and welcoming the Holy Spirit on the inside. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit wants to partake in everything that we do. He wants to be a part. He wants to change us. I told my son the other day, I had a long day and had worked real hard, and he had asked me something, and I took a deep breath, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry that she got upset or offended. I was like, no, it wasn't that. I'm learning just to take a deep breath and pray, and when you're tired or when you're going through, so that you can say things that are edifying, because that's what the Holy Spirit is all about on the inside of you. Notice Jesus teaching John 16:8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Here's another point. The Holy Spirit convicts. Yes, this is a part of his personality within us. And as he deals with the things that are around him, the Holy Spirit convicts. Now, I want to look at this closely. Conviction is to declare guilty. Yes, when you're convicted, when you're in a court, you are declared guilty. There's so much that's going on with people being in the jury setting, but please understand, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of, and he convicts to declare to be guilty. If you look closely at that verse 89, first part, we can see the conviction of sin is because the world doesn't believe in Jesus. Do you see that? It's happening. It's beginning to go to the extreme that people just don't believe in Jesus. They want to believe in God. They want to believe in religion. They want to believe in a building where people come, but they don't want to believe or embrace who Jesus is and his Spirit. If you look in that verse 10, of righteousness, because the world doesn't recognize the majesty of God. They don't know and recognize how good he is. And when you're going outside, whether it's sunshine or rain, you need to just look around and the birds have been chirping a lot, and just realize the majesty of God and all the wonderful things that he's done. I was out and I was seeing some ants that had wings, and they were flying around and they were actually irritating me, but I began to think about the majesty of God and his creation. And then when you go a little closer in that verse 11, it says a judgment, because if you don't believe in Christ, you automatically follow the devil, who is already judged. Yes, that judgment is, if you don't believe in Christ, you automatically follow the devil, who is already judged. Please understand, this is important to know, that you have to choose. There's no in between. Jesus spoke of these words in Revelation 3:15. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Help in a time of need. Anybody need help out there? I'm so glad that the Spirit dwells on the inside of us. Look at John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Here's another point. The Holy Spirit is our God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is our God. And so as I was studying this going through, I was just always trying to think about parts in my life and how God has ministered me to understand a scripture or a particular point. Bianca and I and her parents, we were able to go to Europe, and we went there on this trip. And one of the important parts of it, we were on a tour because we didn't know where we were going. We were going all through Europe to see these different places. But on that, we had that tour, and we had a tour guide. His name was Tony. Yes, I loved Tony because Tony helped us to go places that we didn't know how to get there. If we would get lost, we could always get back to the place that Tony said that he would meet us at, and therefore Tony could guide us to the places. Tony could point out, I remember when we were on the bus and we were going across Europe, and everybody's tired because it's a blistering pace. Tony would say, "Hello, everybody." He would speak on the intercom and look over to the left, and I was like, "It just looks like a piece of rock to me." And he was like, "That's an abandoned castle from 1600s and all of these things." And then all of a sudden, that piece of rock had significance in our lives because Tony, our God, pointed it out to us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we become aware of his presence more and more, he begins to point things out. That's why we can really say that when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, because it's the Holy Spirit who's pointing things out. We should be the most praised people, praiseworthy people, lifting up Christ and lifting up the Holy Spirit and lifting up the Father, what the Father has done, because the Spirit is constantly pointing out, look at that. Think about this. Think about if it had not been for God on your side. Think about that he woke you up this morning. Think about the food that you're taking in your mouth, that you're able to eat it. Some of you have recovered from COVID, and you need to thank God that your taste came back. And now that your taste came back, the Holy Spirit said, look what I've done in your life. All of these things. I'm talking about help in a time of need. The Holy Spirit, he's our guide. He wants us to follow him, but so often we get out of front end of him, and that's when we stumble, that's when we fall. Look at this final verse, John 16:14. Jesus says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Here's our final point. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and emphasizes Jesus' teaching. I know it's a big, but I really want you to understand. We're understanding the personality of the Holy Spirit working in the believer. These are things that we look for. These are things that we desire. Again, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and emphasizes Jesus' teaching. Glorify in this means, when you look at that Greek term, it means to magnify God through praising his name and honoring his commandments. To magnify God through praising his name and honoring his commandments. Well, we find this out, Psalms 86:12, an example of this. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Jesus also, he glorifies the Father through his perfect obedience and sacrifice. Isn't that good? We find that out. So it's not just going to a physical building on a particular day and just jumping up and down. No, it's about our whole entirety of our life bringing praise to him and following what God would have us to do. John 17:1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. How is your life glorifying God? Yes. When people, and we talked about this earlier, when they look at you, how's the shining of God coming through you? Are they learning more about Jesus and his presence and all that God has done? I'm so glad that God has given us help in a time of need. That's why we often take God for granted. And when we take God for granted, we miss out on the special things that he has for us via the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle, after his conversion, he wrote these things that are supposed to be traits, and throughout the sermon series, I've been coming back to this scripture because this is so important. So often we find ourselves in portions of this scripture, but God wants to transform us to more of his likeness. Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Are you with me? This is important. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We're living epistles with examples. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then it goes to that 31. How do we not grieve him? It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Are there any excited folks? When I think about Jesus going to the cross of Calvary and nails in his hands and nails in his feet, carrying our sins and bearing our griefs, I'm so glad he's given us help in a time of need. On Luke 23:34, Jesus said this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. What a mighty God we serve, because on that cross of Calvary, he dies and they put his body in a cold grave. But I'm so glad to tell you that 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory. And guess what? That opens up the way for the Holy Spirit to come on the inside of us. He was introduced in a magnificent way in Acts 2 as cloven tongues of fire set on the disciples when they got on one accord. And saints, please know that right now, God's Spirit for the believer, he dwells on the inside of us, and such a wonderful gift has been given that we can walk in every day, every hour, every minute, every second. He's help in a time of need. Growing up in church, I would sit there, and I went to a Pentecostal Baptist church. That's what it was. And we would sing songs and wonderful songs. You just get excited. But every now and then, actually it was more now and then, all together, someone would get the Holy Spirit and they would run, or they would shout, or they would do the Bronco, you know, that back and forth. And it was wonderful in a sense. But in my mind as a child, I thought that the only place you get the Holy Spirit was in the service when that special song was sang. And I was conflicted, because some of those same people who would show this Spirit moving would be the meanest and hateful people. They would fall out on the floor and you'd have to get the smelling salts to bring them back. And yet they hadn't changed. They were ugly and sarcastic towards people in a mean way. And I'm like, God, what's this? How can these people get the Holy Spirit like this and act so mean? And I started to realize so much that some of them were just emotionalized. They were just caught up. Because when you really have the Spirit, it's not just a one-day experience. Yes, God produces praise and exhilaration, and we can get excited and emotional. But please know, it's not just on one day. It should be every day of the week, because God's Spirit dwells inside of us. Remember that. God's Spirit is with the believer. So as we walk through our lives, I want to encourage you, if you are saved, the Spirit wants to do wonders within you, and he's already working things out in you. You just got to recognize his personality is there. He just wants to be welcomed more in your life. For the believer today, I want you to focus in more and more this week and say, God, I thank you for your Spirit that dwells on the inside of me. And I'm going to be excited not just one day, but every day. And I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. If you don't know Christ, today's your day. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I beg you, I implore you today, allow God's presence to come inside of you, to save you, to deliver you and set you free. He's helped in a time of need. Let me pray with you. Father, I just thank you today. Thank you today for your presence. Thank you for helping a time of need. Thank you for saving souls, delivering and setting free. Thank you for the encouragement of the believer. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsake us. God, as we go through the next minutes, the next hours, the next days, help us to have a ever present awareness of who you are and your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. Forgive us for so often grieving you. Oh, we want to be better for you. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift. Jesus, thank you for enabling the way. You're going to the Father, interceding for the saints and allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We have help in a time of need, aren't you? The Lord has just been so, so good to us by giving us His Holy Spirit. Don't forget our in-person services for those who desire have started back today, 8:45 and 10:45. Whether you're online or in person, please continue to pray that God's will be done, that souls be saved, delivered, and set free. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.